Thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. Our reading this morning comes from Psalm 127 and 128. Church Bibles, it starts on page 613. The Word of the Lord. Title is, Unless the Lord Builds the House, A Song of Ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around the table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, how blessed are we when we fear you, revere you, trust you. May we attest that fact to others, how you have blessed us. We're not lucky, we're blessed. We thank you for blessing us. We thank you for blessing the blessing of children, and we ask that you would bless them. May our children's children act wisely and follow you all the days of their lives. Help us to be good examples before them. Forgive us when we've fallen short. We ask that you speak clearly to us through the message by your servant Jose. May his words be as your words. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask your anointing upon him. Amen.
There's a story that, as of right now, the author is not identified, but it's a story that is told during Father's Day. And it's to convey the importance of the investment in the children that God has given us, or the children that are around us. It's entitled A Grandfather, The Grandson, and an Oak Tree. One crisp autumn morning, a grandfather and his young grandson walked through the quiet field near their home. the boy, about 7 years old, kicked a fallen leaf and picked up a smooth little acorn. "Grandpa," he asked, "can this really become a tree?" The grandfather smiled and took the acorn from the boy's hand. "Let me tell you a story." He led the boy to the edge of the field where a towering oak tree stood. Its branches reached high and wide like a sheltering canopy. "You see this tree," the grandfather said, "I planted it the day your father was born. Just a little acorn, just like the one you have in your hand. Every day I came out to check on it. At first, it looked like nothing, just dirt. But over the years, it broke through the soil, grew taller, weathered storms, and put deep roots in the ground." The boy looked up at the huge trunk of the tree in awe. And now it was big enough for him to climb on. "Yes," said the grandfather, "and strong enough to hold a swing and wide enough to give you shade and old enough to drop its own acorns." He placed the acorn back into the boy's hand. Raising a child is a lot like planting a tree. At first, it doesn't look like much. It takes patience, faith, and love. But if you keep showing up through the sunshine and the storms, one day that little seed becomes something strong, something that lasts. The boy nodded his head and held the acorn tightly in his hand. Years later, that same boy, now a man, stood in the same field with his own child. He pointed to a new young oak sprout near the big one, and he said to his son, "Let me tell you a story." Pastor John would say, "There is no success without a successor. The only future we have is the future we give to our children, whoever they may be." Today is a day we celebrate Father's Day, right? And for some of us, there is probably a lot of mixed emotions, right? Maybe because things aren't the way we know they should be. And for some of us, we don't even know why they are the way they are. And the thing is, right, Father's Day is a day that reminds us that all men are called to care for those that are younger, the children that are in our midst. And it's not to belittle or to set aside the role of a mom, because I believe the role of a mom is just as important. But Father's Day is one of those days that we tend to kind of quickly push through. And unless we stop and are intentional about it, all of a sudden, we'll find that it'll be Monday and we're back to our normal routine. But Father's Day, like I said, reminds us sometimes of these wounds that we can experience. And these are just a few, right, of what we can experience. For some reason, sometimes we have a dad that is perceived or is a bad dad. He only thinks about himself. He doesn't make time for the child. It's almost as if the child gets in the way. And the child is left wanting more. Or sometimes there's a dad that's just missing. And nobody really knows or talks about what happened. And that child is always left with this ache in their soul. Like, why don't I have a dad? Sometimes a dad is a weak dad. A dad that doesn't have what we would call a spine to be able to lead and guide a family well. And yes, sometimes one dad can be all of these things, a bad dad, a missing dad, a weak dad. And as a result, sometimes the moms step into that role, and to their ability, they do the best that they can with what they have. And I believe this is also a place where the church can do a better job, right, in providing that support to a single mom, right? I think that's why the programs like Trill Life are important. I believe that's why programs like Sunday School, VBS, are important, because it connects and allows us to support children in ways that would make it difficult. And then the last one there is, you know, dads are under attack, right? We live in a society today where the role of men is being redefined, diminished every single day. Every commercial you see makes a man look weak or silly, as if he doesn't know. And I'm here to say that Scripture does not support that. Scripture supports a good, strong father. Someone who is there, and it's the picture, right, of our Heavenly Father. However, if you tend to have a wound from your own life, sometimes that is the picture that we tend to give our Heavenly Father. Right? It's, if our earthly dads are bad, then God must be bad. If our earthly dad is missing, God must be missing. If our earthly dad is weak, our Heavenly Father is weak, because when I need him, he doesn't show up. Right? Right? And I'm here to convey to us through Scripture, right? That the roles of a father are important in the life of the children, because the children are important. And so as much as this is Father's Day, right, I think this is really our children's day, right? Because it's about pouring into them. And sometimes, no matter what we do, no matter how much we pour into our children, the response that we get back from them isn't what we want, right? And sometimes, for one reason or another, they cut us off. And even that becomes even more painful, and that's why we need God that much more, right? These Psalms that we're looking at, Psalm 127 and 128, are part of a collection of the Psalms of Ascent. These are the Psalms that would be sung as the Israelites would travel from their home to Jerusalem, to the temple. They are numbered 120 to 134. And all of them are songs that would have been sung, and some would have been sung even as they stood at the steps of the temple, going up to the temple. Some would call these pilgrim songs. And when we look at them, we know that Psalm 122, 124, 131, 133, all of those are assigned to David. This one, 127, is assigned to Solomon. Some historians would say that maybe David himself wrote it on behalf of his son, and I don't agree with that analysis, and I'll show you why, because some of the wording that's in Psalm 127 point to Solomon. But it's a picture, especially the first one, right, of how houses, cities, and then families are important, and not just important, but important to God, right? And it's really the legacy that we leave, our imprint that we leave on the next generation. A Song of Ascent of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build in labor in vain. Right? So, unless God is partnering with you as you're building your home, all of your efforts are useless, right? And ask yourself, right? It's Scripture says, unless the Lord, Yahweh, the one who keeps his covenant promise, unless he is with you as you build your home, all of your work is vain. Now, we might build a house. It might be able to stand. But whether God is in that house is another story. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Right? Not only do we have a house that we want God to bless, but now there's the watchman, the one who stands guard to make sure that there is no attack against the home, against the city. Right? And it's a picture that God is the one who is always watching. He's the one that never slumbers. He's the one that never needs a break. He's the one that's always attentive, right, to every possible attack. So you can see the picture of the one who's building or the one who's watching. Unless God is with you, your efforts are going to be zero. Now, the world might bless you. The world might say, what a great job you have done in building this house. But unless God is with you, right? Ask yourself, is God with you? This coming September, we will celebrate 10 years here at Goodwill Port, right? And as we celebrate 10 years, the building itself, the property, was shut down for 10 years, right? And I remember my wife and I walked through this property and we said, this is too much work, right? But we never asked God, hey, is this too much work for you, right? We said, in our own strength, this is too much, right? And yeah, we're still doing repairs. We're still fixing. We still got a lot of stuff to do. But God has been with us, right? And God has been walking with us. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives his beloved sleep. Right? Some of us could get up early in the morning because we have things to do. But unless God is the one we're waking up to, right, all of our effort is nullified. Right? When we are with God, it seems that our anxiousness is a lot less. When we are trying to do it on our own strength, our own ability, it seems that the anxiousness in us tends to increase. And as a result, we might get up early because we're anxious. We might stay up late because we're anxious. The very thing we need God to give us, we tend to miss because we're doing it in our own strength, right? It's all vain. It's all vanity, right? Just like Solomon would remind us. And here's why I believe this psalm is in reference to Solomon, right? For he gives to his beloved sleep. Right, and in 2 Samuel 12, verse 25, Solomon was born to David and Bathsheba. Right, God would call Solomon his beloved, Jedidiah. Right, and that's the Hebrew word we have there. If you was to translate it in from the English to Hebrew, Jedidiah. Right, and so it's almost as if he is talking about himself, right? It's right that God would give Solomon the very thing he needs, sleep. Right, and behold, right? And in scripture, whenever you see the word behold, especially in the Old Testament, it means to see with your physical eyes. Children are a heritage from the Lord, right? Every child is from God, even if you didn't plan it, right? That's the amazing part about all of this, right? That every child, even if you did not plan that child, and all of a sudden you find yourself, oh, we're pregnant, right? It's like, God knows, right? And every one of those children, right, is a heritage, a gift from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward, like an arrow in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth, right? Now, a warrior, when he went out to battle, right, his confidence was based on, well, how well and how many arrows do I have in order to shoot the enemy, right? And here's the thing, right? I'm not an archer, right? I'm sure there's others that know how to shoot an arrow. But here's what I do know, right? Especially of a warrior back then, right? They needed to go and get each one of the sticks that was going to be turned into an arrow. They needed to take every arrow head, right, and hone it to perfection. They needed to get every feather, right, to be set perfectly, right? So that an arrow that would be their arrow, if they were aiming it somewhere, would hit the mark, right? And each one of these arrows is a picture of your child and my child, or the children that are around us, right? They don't have the ability to fly on their own. They need somebody to make it fly. And here's the picture, right? Especially when a warrior is using an arrow, it's almost as if the arrow itself only has one opportunity to be launched. Right. That is our children, right? As we invest and pour into them, there comes a time where they are launched. And like a warrior, right, that arrow is either going to produce good or evil. Sometimes we can't control that, right? But as many arrows as we have, especially if I'm a warrior, right, it's the more opportunities I will have to launch one of my children, one of my arrows. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them, right? It's the difference between one having one arrow and another having 10, right? So according to scripture, it's good to have a lot of kids, right? That's scripture. That's not me, right? Scripture would say that's a blessing, right? To have many children, right? To have a quiver, right? Filled with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate, right? The gate is the picture of protection. It is the place where negotiations happen. So all of a sudden, imagine the warrior coming to the gate with his quiver full with his arrows as he speaks with the enemy. And all of a sudden, your shoulders are up and high and you don't have anything to be scared of. All of this happens because we have chosen for the Lord to be with us, right? And here's the picture, right? It's a house is only important because of the family that's inside of it. A city is only representative by all the different houses that are in it. And all of that is only important because of the children. And that is what God wants us to grab a hold on this morning, on this Father's Day. And it's a reminder of this. The role of a man, as you see it in Scripture, is the role of a father, right? So every man, right, is called to be that. Men, per the Bible, do the work of fathers, whether they are technically fathers or not, and view this work as their highest calling, right? And yes, and when a father is not available, a mom tries to do her best to fulfill that calling. And that's why the church needs to do a better job of coming along moms that are single trying to raise their child. Right, but then we now transition to Psalm 128, a song of ascent. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Right? It's the fear isn't a fear of cowering, but it's a fear of respect of who God is. Right? And in order for me to know his ways, I have to spend time in his word. If I don't spend time in his word, I will not know his ways. Right? And a lot of us at times want to be blessed, right? And we miss it, right? We miss it because Scripture reminds us, just like it reminds us in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of the sinner or sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on the law he meditates day and night. Are you meditating on God's word? Right? This isn't about blaming the preacher. This isn't about blaming, the church. This is about you and your time with God. Are you spending time with God? And here's the thing. If you spend time with God, he promises to bless you, right? It is about his ways, not Jose's ways. It is your job that after I'm done here preaching, you look at God's word and say, did the words of the pastor support what scripture had to convey today? Or did Jose just say whatever he wanted apart from God? You shall eat the fruit of your labor. Of your hand you shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Right, as I was looking at these verses, right, it's amazing how God makes things that should be difficult a blessing. Right, remember all the way back in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve sinned, and God said to Adam that work was going to be difficult, right? That out of the sweat of your brow, right? It was going to be hard. But then here we have in Psalm 128, verse 2, right? You shall eat the fruit of your labor, of your hands, you shall be blessed, right? All of a sudden, God takes something that should be hard, and he wants to bless us in it. So that it would be well with you and me as we work. Right? God always wants to, right? That's his character. Right? He wants to love. He wants to bless us. Right? That other translation for being blessed this way is to be happy, to be full with joy, right? And God wants that for us, right? I'm sure most of us want that, but in order to have that, we have to be in relationship with him. It isn't a job, right? It isn't your spouse. It isn't those things, your house, your work, that's going to bring joy. What brings joy is your relationship with God. And if you have that relationship, then you're able to enjoy everything else you have. And you're not sitting there, I wish I had, oh, look what it's, oh, my job is so hard. Yeah, it's supposed to be difficult. But in the midst of it, you can enjoy it. You can be filled with deep happiness. The ability that you're able to work. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within the house. Your children will be like an olive shoot around the table. Right? It's a picture, right, of what a balanced relationship between a husband and a wife is supposed to be. Not the picture of what society is telling us relationships should be today. That a wife will be able to produce the very thing that will be our heritage, our children. Right, and our children will be like an olive shoot around the table. There's so much to unpack with that illustration of our children being an olive shoot. It is a reminder of the story we heard at the beginning, right? That things sometimes take time. an olive tree once it's planted, you know that it takes 40 years before it produces one fruit? Right? And meanwhile, for 40 years, you have to care for it, maintain it, support it, right? If it was me after 10 years, this thing's coming down, right? It's like, it's coming down. It's just taking space, right? But 40 years before it produces a fruit, right? 50 years before it produces something substantial. Here's what scripture is telling. It takes time to raise our kids. Sometimes we're in the middle, right? And we don't like what we see, right? And it's about being persistent and praying over them. And eventually, and here's the part that hurts, because sometimes their turning around might happen when I'm not here. But I have to trust that God is going to do what God says he's going to do. Behold, thus says the man, be blessed who fears the Lord, right? It always goes back to that relationship with God. Right? That if I have that right relationship, that right reverential fear of the Lord, right? Where I pursue him in everything that I do, right? Even though right now things might not look the way I want them to look. Maybe I think the olive tree should be producing fruit and God is saying, it's still a shoot. It's still a shoot. You still got to water it. You got to pray over it. You got to invest time, right? And sometimes for some of us, it's loving at a distance, right? Because we want it different. But that's the circumstance we find ourselves in. Right? But it's holding and believing. And then while we're waiting, maybe sometimes God sends us other children to care for. And then as we care for them, then all of a sudden we can witness what God does with our own children, our own families. But it all starts with your relationship with God. Too many times I counsel people and I ask the question, well, how much time do you spend praying, seeking God? Right? And the answer is not that much. Right? It's like, and you're surprised that life is this difficult for you, right? That the only time they spend with God is a Sunday morning. And thank God for that. But for the rest of the week, right, they go through life without going to God's word. Recently, somebody asked me, so how can I change that? Right? And I said, well, right, if you have a smartwatch, just set the alarm every hour, right? And every hour, just stop and acknowledge God. And if you can, maybe read a piece of scripture. And also, and you'll find, right, that you'll create a healthy habit with God as you pursue him. It's about building a relationship with our God. God's word is his love letter to us. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Right? So when you start thinking, the Lord bless you from Zion, right, ask yourself, what happened in Zion? Right? And just take a snapshot, right? Just take Jesus, right? Jesus, in all of his healings, right, happened in Jerusalem, Right? And also, and it is from there that God can bless me as I see those, read those, so that it would go well with me all the days of my life. It was Jesus that we read in Scripture that on Palm Sunday rode through the gates of the temple where the people shouted, Hosanna. He's the one that they were worshiping. And it's there in Zion as I receive this, so that it would go well with me all the days of my life. When I read Scripture, it is a week later that all of a sudden I see him getting tried, eventually getting crucified, where he would eventually conquer sin and death. All of that happened there on that mountain, Mount Zion. So that that work would be a blessing to me all the days of my life. And all of that I can only see if I'm willing to read Scripture. That I may see, behold, the prosperity of Jerusalem. Now you have to ask yourself, well, what is that? If it isn't Jesus. If it isn't Jesus all the days of my life. You may see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Right? To see our children. Just like that story of a grandfather talking to his grandson. And eventually that grandson growing up and taking his son to that field, right? It's, and all of a sudden, I guess there's two trees in this field. And each one of those trees represents a heritage of one individual pouring into the other. It isn't something that happened overnight. But it's something that eventually is going to be seen, so that you and I would have this one thing, peace, right? Peace, that we would not be at war, that we would not be at strife. And here's the thing, the peace is the peace that Jesus provides you and me with the Father, because otherwise we are at war with the Father. So when we stop and say Happy Father's Day, it's every single day of our lives because of who God is. There is no success without the successor. The only future we have is the future we give to our children. Whoever they may be, right? It's the willingness to invest in that next generation so that eventually a life would turn into this precious, magnificent tree, whether it's an oak tree, whether it's an olive tree. Right, and here's the thing. I might not live long enough to see that, but it doesn't mean that it stops growing. Right? And here's the thing. In my selfishness, I want to see it. I want to see it. I want to see God do what God is going to do. In the end, right, we need to give Jesus to our kids. And then we need to give our kids to Jesus. Right? And I believe if we do that, right, that will make a great Father's Day. Amen? Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful. Grateful for this day, a day in which we can worship you, a day in which we celebrate this day, Father's Day, but it's a celebration of our Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray for anyone that's here and might be struggling because of their own relationship with their earthly father. And Lord, I pray that you would break through all of that. Be bigger and greater so that the very peace you promised would be received and applied. We thank you. Pray all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, would you rise as we worship?
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.